Welcome back, Lister sisters, Lister misters, and Lister listeners, to another episode of Top Hat Topics. As always, I'm your co-host, Jen Snyder, and with me,
Kristen Hughes.
And we are starting episode 4. But before we get into all that, Kristen?
We always just want to take the opportunity at the beginning of the podcast to remind everyone to write into us at tophattopics.podcast@gmail.com to nominate a gentleman Jack in your own life. We want to pick a nomination every week and read the one that we pick on the air. And let everybody know why they're a gentleman Jack in their own life. And we even want to send you guys a little commemorative certificate to remember the occasion.
Speaking of our gentleman Jack last week sent us an email today because he is the admin of the Gentleman Jack Fans HBO and BBC TV show. And we are now the official podcast.
It's really exciting. It was an awesome way to start our Sunday morning out. So shout out to the admins and everybody in that group. We love you guys so much.
So much. We're so humbled and we cannot believe y'all picked us for this opportunity. And we're just really so honored that you guys let us in your homes and listen to us.
So honored. I mean, we, you know, we're two goofy individuals.
If we came to your house and rang the bell, you might not answer the door. You might be like, No, I don't think I want that subscription.
I don't know these girls.
Are you Mormons? I don't see your bikes. I'm very – where are your ties? Sir, I see that you're white, weird white. I look like a dude.
Do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior and Lister?
All right, you guys. We are just so excited. We're being goofy, but we really, really are honored, and we're more than excited to be the official Gentleman Jack Fans HBO and BBC One TV show podcast. So – without further ado, you guys, we are going to get into the fourth episode here, and it is Most Women Are Dull
and Stupid. And actually, before we press play, we do want to let you guys know that this episode might be a little bit longer. We had one of our listeners, Alana Casey, email us this week, and we had some great banter back and forth with her. She's so awesome and so funny. And she suggested that when we're really getting heavy into one of these scenes, to just go ahead and pause it and keep talking and then restart it so that it doesn't feel so rushed. So we're going to do that this week because that's what was asked of us, and see how it goes.
Yeah. So we apologize in advance for the extra long podcast, but we're going to have fun. All right. So let's get into it. All right, HBO Static, and here we go. I love that so much.
It's the best.
It's the best. All right, we're back at Nosy Bonnet's house with sprightly music.
Sprightly.
And here she goes, talking about how she defended her, and she's gossiping to her husband the vilest insult. Like, she was her friend, and you didn't know who your friend was?
Yeah, like you didn't already know.
Yeah.
Stop playing. But also, I have to say about this actress, though, I've recently watched all of Saran Jones' back catalog, and she is the, like, head investigator, captain, lady at their job in the police station there in Manchester, I think, that they're in. And so I think it's so funny that now she's in Gentleman Jack, too, and I just feel like that woman was born to ride Saran Jones' ass. Like, I feel like she is 100% typecasted, where it's just like, from here on out, you're going to be the one bitch that can bust Saran Jones' balls.
She just shows up to work and she's like, this bitch again. Damn it.
I mean, she calls her Godzilla in Scott and Bailey. That's like what Saran Jones' character calls her.
You have gone deep into the fandom.
Deep into the fandom.
Yo, she's obsessed now. All right. I love this guy's coat. He's wearing like a double-breasted robe of some sort.
Either way, it's super fly.
It is really super fly.
Shout out one more time to Tom Pye, who did all the costuming.
No kidding. And they're eating stuff out of silver clamshells, as the rich are wont to do.
I mean, I just feel like I hate I hate that it was somebody's job to polish all that silver. Yeah. Like,
I like how he's worried that she's so smart that she'll make her look like a liar. He's like, don't tell nobody about that shit. She's going to make you look stupid.
Ann Lister is going to blister you.
She's going to make you look like you're the crazy one walking in on people without knocking, letting people's footmen not knock on the door. That's very rude, James. I'm not over it.
Still not over it, James. You should be fired.
Three less chickens for you this week, James. We ain't having it. So anyways, this bitch is telling him, well, I wouldn't tell nobody, so
I already told, like, 5 people.
I already told everybody. I told everybody. I went to the...
Everybody in a whole family.
I went to get some feed from the feed store, and I told them bitches. I went to get some horseshoes from the horseshoe store, and I told them bitches. And then I ran into somebody's mama on the way, so you know how to tell that bitch. And
her 2 sisters.
So pretty much I told every bitch I met so far this week, but I won't tell nobody else.
I'm afraid it has been mentioned.
And this is Bitchy Bonnet. You know, Nosy Bonnet, Bitchy Bonnet. She's the worst.
Nosy Bitchy Bonnet.
All right, here we are with sexy Saran Jones's hands, putting her clothes on.
Always the shout out.
Yeah, whalebone sticks.
Whalebone bust.
So well known. And this sequence is really cool. Whoever did this and whoever had the idea to put the Ann Lister in her eye, total shout outs because that's amazing. That was a cool shot.
Absolutely.
It's such a cool show, you guys.
I'm really, guys, this is truly an offer. I am willing to personally fund insurance for Saran Jones hands.
Oh, I'm sure they're insured by Lloyd's of London. Is that who does body parts and stuff like that? No, really?
Oh, is that for real?
Yeah, I really think that's a thing. Like, Tina Turner's legs are insured by Lloyd's of London.
Really?
Google, you don't know this?
Oh my God, you have out-Googled me.
You'll be looking this up later.
I'll know all the information.
Next episode, Aaron's going to be like, well, actually. All right, so here's the first chance we get to see Miss Rawson's. Miss Rawson's like the matriarch, right? The mom, the grandma. This is the Rawson's mama.
No, the lady, this is Ann Walker's aunt.
That lady?
Yeah, the Mama Rawson that we see at the end with the boys is the matriarch. Yeah. Rawson.
But this is the one that was in the carriage that time.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I got confused a little bit. And she just eating snacks with her little petticoat fingers. What are those?
And she already knows. She's like, yeah, she's in York with Ann now. I'm sure she'll be in Paris next. Like, not even startled by it, just so, casually eating her crumpets.
Apparently, Ann Walker's never heard that Ann Lister be taking girls to Paris. So, fourth wall broken. I've never done this before. Oh, yes, Lord. And here we are in York in the bedroom. Oh, and whoever drew those scenes of them in the bedroom on
yes.
the page.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. We've seen some of the most beautiful artwork on our Facebook group that people have done. I really want to get some pajamas like these made for myself.
We're going to pause here for just 1 minute because, like,
necessary.
It's necessary. The legs, like, why is that sexy? Why is nightgowns and just bare legs? That's so hot to me right now.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because we're lesbians.
You're like, girl, you came in here wearing that sexy potato sack, and it is doing things to me. I am so hot right now.
And we are hot right now.
Their chemistry is great. Like, in my heart, they enjoy it a little bit.
I mean, I think that we all want to believe that, but the truth of it is that they're professionals. And, I mean, they talked about how they developed their friendship, you know, while they were doing the show together. They were together for 8 months, and Saran Jones said that you kind of see the relationship and the show grow as it did in real life because, you know, they shot episode 1 when they had, like, you know, just met.
Yeah.
And then you see it over an 8-month period of time.
The chemistry is so good, though. I feel like it's so – I mean, I guess that's acting, but
– You're right. It's so good that it's almost impossible to believe that it's contrived in any way, shape, or form.
All right, fair enough. So here we go into some play fighting with just sex on. And the when she leans over and kisses her while holding
beautiful,
her hand back.
Beautiful natural lighting. All the neck touching again.
Sally Wainwright, let's spend a little more time on them sex scenes, okay? We saw brother and sister do it on damn Game of Thrones. Can we have just a little more sex scenes? They go right to T.
They're trying to keep it as being sensual and less titillating is the actual.
Well, I guess
the actual verbiage used.
I guess I'm coarse and vile because I would like to see a little more bedroom scenes.
I mean,
scenes.
I think in our most human of forms, we would all like to see a little bit more, for sure.
So already we're having tea, and the brother of and Lister's ex-girlfriend.
Mariana.
Yeah, who's really cool. I love his character. And do you not feel like this is the most woke doctor of 1832 in the whole world?
The most woke man doctor in the whole world. I mean, he was a new soul, for sure.
I mean, okay, Google, here we go. Was mental illness something that was talked about back then, other than to say women were bitches be crazy?
It was very, very rare to find a doctor that would, like, really help with mental health issues. When women would have mental health issues, they usually were sent to a woman's health doctor, which pretty much just meant that they were going to be locked up and examined until they were just numbed out.
See, and I guess, I mean, that's why she knew to go to him. But I love this part of the show, that there was somebody that was willing to listen about mental health issues. Because, like, I mean, even when I was growing up, that wasn't a thing people talked about. And now, so that is really great. His character is really great. And I love her face throughout this, because she's like, she's concerned, and then she's automatically, like, overjoyed that what she's doing is helping. Because he's like, having a friend, love is helpful.
She genuinely cares about her, and it makes her feel full.
Yeah.
That she is helping her.
And the affirmation that love is transformative, that love changes us and kind of it helps us in a way and saves us in this beautiful kind of way. And her face right there, where she's just, like, overjoyed to hear that she's not, there's something she can do to help Anne. That's beautiful.
It really is.
Yeah. And yeah. Oh, she wants to go. She done said she wanted to go to Paris.
She said she is going to the continent with me, Playa.
Yeah. And then it's like, have you heard from my sister lately? Yeah, I fucked her a few months ago.
And here she goes right now, reading this jealous-ass letter.
Uh-huh, just petty at lunch, I guess, because that's ham.
Petty at lunch. But, oh, my God, so the look that her husband is about to give her is one of my favorite scenes in the whole show. Is there no end to Ms. Lister's selflessness? Bam! And she is just bitter Betty. Mm-hmm. She is bitter Betty that somebody else is being talked about.
And Anne Lister spending time with somebody else besides her. Because she knows what time it is.
Because she's trying to have her cake and eat it too. But she is tripping.
As sometimes women is wont to do. I'm not, anyways.
Again, hashtag stereotypes that have stood the test of time.
And so she's interrogating the coachman, William. Near the rig. No, the gig.
It's gig.
I was so close to getting it right. All right.
We're never going to get it wrong again. I promise.
Dude, she, Saran Jones, and I guess by proxy, Anne Lister does this thing where she walks in when she's talking, and it is both intimidating and sexy as hell.
Oh, absolutely. I will say one thing about this fellow right here, the way he answers her. I feel like he was a little too sassy for my taste. Like, he was just a little bit, he needs to humble himself just a hair. Like, he's still the coachman.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's also men in probably 1832, like, having to take
I mean, I guess, but still, she employs you. She employs you. Do not get it twisted.
I sign the chickens around here, bitch. Do not disrespect me. I've had enough. Look at this outfit Ann Walker got on. Just looking like a sexy ass pillow cushion or something.
I am crazy about the color that she's wearing, but y'all,
it's like fuck me fuchsia or something.
That's exactly what color
she came out. She's like, I done seen the doctor, girl. I had a good bill of health. We had a very little fun morning. I'm feeling good.
Fuck me fuchsia.
Fuck me fuchsia. I put on a matching bonnet. I'm feeling good about myself. Getting a footman in, let's roll.
Those sleeves, though, I mean, out of all of her dresses in the whole series, this one, the sleeves are like double the size of all the other sleeves. It looks like she's just got two couch cushions pushed under her dress.
Looking like a sexy couch.
I mean, it's like 90s shoulder pads times 100.
That was 1832 shoulder pads, yeah. Girl. All right, so now we've got somebody questioning Thomas that, you know, Mr.
Washington.
Thank you so much, Google. And, you know, asking about his dad. Yeah. And he's like, I haven't seen him. I think he went to America.
Ominous music.
Yeah. Shout out to that.
It's just so.
Subtitle writer.
It's so interesting to me, too.
Jaunty music.
It's so interesting to me that there once was a time where people would just casually be like, in order to get away from everything, I'm just going to get on a boat to America.
Yeah.
I mean.
Irony.
Super ironic.
Yeah. Oh, and so here we are.
The lace, though.
Yeah. Explaining to the aunt where we've been and who we talked to.
If you did not have a granny.
Oh, my God. I just realized how boxy it is. She's wearing a whole couch.
If your granny did not have lace doilies like that on her table in her house, have you even lived?
I can't lie. I didn't have a grandma like that. But, yeah, I mean, she's got a lace bonnet. A lace shawl, like she is rocking the hell out of some 1832 lace.
Well, so is Ann Walker, though. Look at the lace over her couch cushion.
I know. Her shoulder pads are so funny. It's awesome.
I just love how Ann Lister has to finish every sentence for her.
Yeah.
Like the whole time.
Yeah.
And then this lady, she's got to be the most Debbie Downer ever.
Well, your brother died in Naples.
Don't get too excited about having a life.
Yeah. Ann Lister's like, it's fine. We good.
I'll protect her.
Mm-hmm. And the climate at Easter is perfect. You know, we're going to go to one of them. What are they going to, a festival or something like that?
The festival in Italy for Easter.
Like you do.
As we do.
Yeah.
This is so slick right here.
Look at her
suggesting
happiness.
Suggesting that she's under Ann Walker's spell.
Yeah.
I swear to God, she is the smoothest. She's like Rita Suave.
Oh, she opened her letter.
She didn't realize it wasn't to her.
Oh, no. Uneasy music. Now we're
uneasy. Oh, I'm getting weak.
Oh, no.
She does such a good job playing fragile. When I know she isn't, because, girl, I have seen her in Peaky Blinders, and she is a tough bitch.
Oh, wow. I need to watch that show. So, okay, who's coming?
The Ainsworths. She just found out that the lady got thrown out the carriage. And here he comes. Old Mr. Ainsworth, the preacher.
Yeah, that's why she's upset. But the lady probably thinks she's upset about the lady getting thrown from the carriage.
Exactly.
All right. So she's staying over there with her tonight. She sent a letter because you always worrying and bitching, Marion. So
yeah, so now you know. Mm-hmm. You don't need to fret. Mm-hmm. The only reason why I get in a host of miseries is because you get me riled up.
She's just there reading the Bible by the fire like a good 1832 woman does.
What print does she have on right now?
It's like,
which modest-ass woman is it today?
It's low-grade modest-ass woman.
I was going to call it Thanksgiving modest-ass woman.
I don't even know if it's fancy enough for Thanksgiving, though.
I don't know. I mean, it's like burgundy and orange and brown, though. It reminds me of a cornucopia.
Yeah. And here's the dad riling up trouble. If you want to invite somebody to tea, bitch, invite them to tea.
You got the same rights as Anne. Do what you gonna do.
I don't know what that means, but he makes carpets, Jeremy.
Aunt Anne is over there just like, I'm over here repping Anne.
Yeah.
Like, y'all can say what you want, but I know she gonna be pissed.
Yeah. Aunt Anne's team Anne all day.
All day, every day, no problem.
Yeah. And the dad, we're descended from Trey, blah, blah. So
just like the rest.
He going basically gentle orchestra music. They going to have him over for tea, basically.
This is pretty sad.
Oh, I love.
Accordingly.
Yes.
Is she not the sweetest soul? I'm telling you, I would love to see some fan fiction or like a spinoff of Accordingly when she was in Paris as Anne's ladies' maid.
I've been thinking that. Like, let's see some young Anne. If you can't do it on HBO, find a little, like, less known network that we can do some, like, dark, what Anne was doing from, like, 19 to 28.
Somebody posted, who would you cast as young Anne in the group a while back? And I said Bella Ramsey. the girl that plays Lady Mormont.
Yeah.
Is that not like the only choice, like the only clear and obvious choice?
Let's
and by the
see
time
it.
We could get around to having a script for that,
she'd be perfect age.
She'd be perfect age.
Sally Wainwright, hear us out, lady.
Hear us out.
Yep. And so, like, does even the mom think that?
Not yet.
Okay.
Mom has no idea. He's still peddling the same. Oh, he ran off to America.
Sometimes you just run off to America when you can't deal with your life no more. So he's going to go talk to Miss Lister and see if he can't smooth it out and keep the farm, because he's a good boy. Sort of.
And I love this whole scene of him whittling the soldier. I whittled when I was a kid, so just there's something about him putting the knife to that wood that is like super nostalgic to me. I know that sounds super strange, but I loved it. I love that he makes, I think I said it in episode one, but I love how he makes these soldiers and gives them names and stories.
And so maybe that's kind of like the lead in to his making the story up about his dad leaving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the foreshadowing. And then here he's kind of, is this basically his confession? Am I getting too far ahead?
And the mom's just like,
he left some new boots, bitch. Why would you leave new boots?
And this is where we find out a little bit more about Courtingly. She lost two babies and her husband. Like, you already crushed my heart, girl.
I don't know if you said this in another episode or if it just between us, but you were like, I wonder why she stopped being her. Maybe that's
because
why.
Because she broke her leg. She's about to say it right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she broke her leg and she ended up having to stay there. But it's crazy because you can tell how much she cares about Anne. Because after she says that she lost two babies and her husband, she didn't find another husband, but she found Miss Lister. And I feel like for a person, especially of her age, to say that says so much about the respect and care that she has for her.
And I love when she says they had some adventures. They had some nice adventures. Yeah. I would love, you're right. I'd love to see that show.
Like, you know, she know.
Oh, and she calls her little chicken. That got
and me. I love how that sounds in French.
How does
little
it
chicken.
Sound?
I'm not going to butcher it.
I only
but
know one
really
kind of phrase
cute.
In French like that. It's mon petit chouchou.
Ooh,
it's my little cabbage.
Oh my God. Why would you ever need to say my little cabbage?
You know what?
French.
That is a long private story that I will tell you one day.
Oh, good. Can't wait.
And so she calls her a little chicken, graceful orchestral music, and then we're leading into Anne being upset, and they're about to have tea. They have a lot of tea in the show.
See, you know that shit is really, really serious because Miss Walker shook her head at the tea. Like, when you won't have the tea,
shit's
something's
bad.
Wrong.
Yeah. All right, so back to the concerned tea.
Tea fixes everything. I wonder why there aren't a lot of other places in the world other than like.
I love this gentle hand stroke. I didn't
I
mean
know,
to interrupt
I know.
You,
it's
but
so true that the way that she's gently touching her knee is just the sweetest. But yeah, I wonder why more countries other than like the UK and China and Japan don't like
get down with tea.
Get down with tea like that.
Girl, act like we're not from the South and we don't drink sweet tea. We get
I
down
mean, that's
with tea.
Facts.
We just get down with tea in a different way.
I rescind that statement.
Yeah. All right. So Anne Walker, Sophie plays this. I can't say it enough. She plays this role so well.
Both of them. Yeah. Let's just say it one more time. Somebody should make us keep a ticker of how many times we compliment the acting.
And also, Saran Jones' hands. Still sexy.
Still sex hands.
Look, still rubbing that lip. I mean, I'm still turned on, but I am concerned for Anne. I'm sorry. Anne Walker, you're upset. Go on.
We understand. But your boo, though.
And we pouring some liquid. We having some more tea in the morning.
This is breakfast concern tea.
And the way she plays this with the tap, the constant tapping, the constant.
On everything. And she does it in other things she's in, too. I'm starting to see. She has the same idiosyncrasies in other things that she plays in. Shout out this episode specifically. It's not even just this scene. Anne Walker's I woke up like this hair.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got morning hair that women pay hundreds of dollars for.
Yeah, she looks particularly beautiful.
So shout out to Sophie Rundle's hair.
Yeah, Sophie Rundle's everything in my opinion. But anyways.
Sweet little cinnamon roll.
So here's Ann Lister telling her that she wants to get ahead of this thing. She's so bold like that.
She
like,
really is. She's so unapologetically her. And she's so intent on making people see that the things that they hear about her private life do not have anything to do with her manners and how she conducts herself in society.
And this is and if she says anything to anybody, which she may or may not do, you know she did.
I got it.
Yeah, we're just going to, you know, we don't have anything to hide. We didn't do anything.
We're not getting defensive because we're not guilty. Yeah. That's what my mama always told me when people get too defensive.
I was
guilty.
Simply looking for a loose sixpence up her dress. That was all I was doing. I was trying to find.
I lost to sixpence.
Up her dress. I don't know what this grumbling thing you're talking about is, but I certainly wasn't doing it. And now can we have some more civilized tea?
We're going to start classifying all the different tea times they have. Concerned tea, civilized tea.
I live for Ann Lister being like, oh, really, they ought to be delighted. They ought to be delighted that I'm taking care of you, boo.
They should be.
Yep. And so there they are having the most uncomfortable sit-in ever.
The man is just like scared shitless and nosy bonnet over there is just trying to get information so she can go talk to more people.
And she's wearing a particularly beautiful nosy bonnet at this point. Like we have to note. That I mean, a dope nosy bonnet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty fresh.
It is pretty fresh. I'm not mad. And she is so pious and just full of herself. And Anne's like, we had a lovely time in York.
Yeah, it was great. Poor Ann Walker is just like checked out, though. She does not want to be there. She's not even trying.
Yeah. And they're both sitting there with the bitchy face on. You got to shout out for her balls to sit through this. This is painful. This whole moment is painful.
Yeah, it really is. This is like the most awkward. This is awkward tea. Yeah.
And his little hands on his knees, he knows how awkward it is. Like, bitch, could not be more uncomfortable right now. And Ann don't even know if it went. Ann Walker doesn't even know if it went well.
No, she's like, did it go well? Because it felt real awkward for me.
And Ann Lister in true Butch style is like, no, baby, it went well. I got this.
It was good.
Yeah, we're good.
Ain't nothing awkward to me.
And we back to some jaunty music because we going to Shibden, honey. Morning, Cottingsworth. I'm headed out in my fancy ass top hat to do badass shit. Oh no, I just got home. Excuse me.
I cannot wait to visit in Halifax and see all of the woodwork in Shibden.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited.
She's wearing drab modest ass bitch design today.
Oh, it's drab modest ass woman?
Yeah, look at it's so
drab. Oh, it
drab.
Is. Yeah.
And these damn Rossins, could y'all go either buy my coal or just get the hell out of here?
I know. They always, and they just show up always when Anne's not there. Like,
Anne's always excited to do new shit. She's like a millionaire who goes and plays other jobs. Like, I'm going down in a pit. Well, you done been out in a pit, girl. Stop it.
We know you've been in a pit.
Well, you've been in many pits. Cut it out. All right. And I keep telling you, it's a matter of indifference. Either give me my money or get the hell out. I'm going to ring the bell.
She made one hell of an entrance, too. I mean, she shook the hell out of his hand. Like she established dominance as soon as she entered the room.
She is one for a power move, honey.
Absolutely.
And here she goes. I don't even want to talk about the coal. Let's talk about your gig. Gig.
I just love how she's not even implicating that his brother had anything to do with the accident. And she's just like, I'm thinking of buying one myself. Can you tell me where your brother got his from?
This is just Sally Wainwright being like, and I just want an excuse for you to use your hands. Put your hands up.
We just need you to have a conversation where you use your hands a lot.
Oh, my God. They're
perfectly
they're the
manicured nails. I mean, Saran Jones. Hands.
It's kind of creepy and weird to me that Saran Jones's hands are a fetish now. I had no idea. I didn't know I was a Saran Jones hand fetish until I.
My literal sexual orientation
is Saran Jones's hands. There needs to be a shirt, y'all, shirt listeners out there, get on it.
My sexual orientation is Saran Jones hands.
Yes.
I would wear that shirt so proudly.
And once again, she's just being a badass. Either tell me you want it or you don't. I don't care either way. I'm going to give it to this dude or I'm going to sink my pit. Kiss my ass, basically.
Make a choice. Mm-hmm. And now he's trying to smoothly talk about what a badass his brother is.
A subtle threat.
And she's just like, no, you didn't.
But honestly, the look on his face is like, I'm not telling you. I'm telling you this because he's a dick and he's probably going to do a dick
Even
thing.
I think he's a dick.
Yeah. And here we are trying to have a little makeup walk here, Anne and Mirian. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm a drab-ass modern woman.
I'm a drab-ass modest woman.
There we go. And I like Anne. She's like, it upsets my equilibrium, bitch. You're upsetting my delicate balance.
Poor Mirian. She's like, I'm trying to tell you sorry. You don't have to make it worse, but can I get you some underwear?
Is that legit what she's asking?
That is legit.
Some drawers.
Yeah. Like, and she's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm traveling, so you can go get me some fancy drawers made.
See, I'm going to Paris for my boo.
We all know why. Miss Walker going to see them drawers. You going to get some with, like, sleeves that are like her couch cushion sleeves. Get some drawers made with some pads.
Okay, but can we talk about this real quick? Because in this scene, legit, she does seem pleased for her.
She is. I mean, her whole family is painted as knowing who she is and supporting who she is. And I think that, honestly, they are just willing for any situation that makes her want to stay home. I think they're desperate for her to settle and be with them at Shibden.
Even Mirian,
yes.
Is her riding her ass, is that her way of showing love?
That's just their sibling rivalry. Yeah. I mean, Marion's the younger sister. Can you imagine being Ann Lister's sister? I'd be bitter as fuck.
Yeah, because you're always in her shadow.
Like, can you imagine being in that shadow?
But I do. Okay, here's the thing I liked about the scene. This is why I stopped it to say this. I like that she asked her. Because that's basically her whole complaint all the time to Anne is that you never respect me. You don't ask me shit. And this ain't my house. And you don't let me treat my house, but I live here. And then she does the cool thing. She's like,
okay. And she asks her.
Yeah, if I move my boo in, if I U-hauled.
Will you be okay with that?
Yeah. And she does the dutiful sister thing. She said, oh, I'd be delighted. Would you? Of course.
But then the funny part is that Marion's like, oh, well, perfect opportunity for me to mention. I'm talking to this fellow.
Yeah. The one thing I did say, she looks like she's wearing lipstick in this scene, which is kind of hot and weird in a little way.
Or she's got red wine lips. I mean, I know that's probably not the case, but that's the color. That's the color of drinking one bottle of red wine.
And she's like, look here, I want to get married too. I'm trying to have my happiness. Can I marry this carpet guy?
Yeah, and it's like so funny. She just asked Mirian if she could have permission for Anne Walker to come and stay there. But Mirian trying to ask her about her fella, and Anna's just not having it.
No, I like
until
this
now. I mean, she tries to act tough, but she turns it back around and she's like, sure.
And she says, as long as it's an intelligence choice.
But she did try and play hard right there at the beginning. She just kept walking past her.
No, but you know, and what she's saying here is, it's my job to make sure you're not marrying some piece of shit carpet guy.
Yeah, because I'm not going to marry a man. So, you know, at least one of us should.
So it was this weird line of respect I'm going to ask you. And then when she was like, well, can I do this thing? And she's like, well, you don't really have to ask my permission. But it is kind of my duty to make sure you don't marry a dipshit.
Don't be a dumbass.
And her whole asking of it was like, basically to Anne, please don't be a dick to him.
Yeah. Please don't big dick him.
Yeah, please don't make him feel bad. All right. So
you do not have to show everybody how big your thermometer is.
Ooh. All right, so here we go.
Spoiler alert.
Big time. We're going down in the pit. And they used little
tiny children.
I love
how, yeah, and she's so gentle with kids. Like, every time she touches a child in the show, she is so gentle with them.
6, 7, 8 down in a coal pit?
I mean, in just a second, he's going to say actually how many work down there, and it's crazy.
Are you sure you want to go down there, bitch?
And then she just looks at him like,
I done told you.
I said what I said.
Oh. Can you imagine?
No.
Okay. you're not even going to let me finish the question.
No, I'm not even going to let you finish the question. No, I cannot imagine working down in a coal mine. I cannot. I am mildly claustrophobic, and I would lose my mind.
She's such a badass. She puts herself into everything. She's like, oh, you have a dead baby? I'd love to see it dissected. Oh, you have a pit? I'd love to go down there in a tiny cart that children hit their head on when they're going
down
there.
She's absolutely fearless.
Yeah. So she's checking out the pits. And you know nothing about coal. So how do you know? Because I was thinking that the whole time. I'm like, you're going to go down there and see what? Like, if I went down there, I'd be like, all right, yep, that's coal, and somebody's taking it, and yeah.
I think the only question I would have is, can you show me where they're stealing the coal from? And as soon as you showed me that, I'd be like, all right, then, back to the top.
Can we take that unstable-ass little cart back up? Because I am very unhappy down there. This looks like some Indiana Jones shit.
No doubt.
Somebody's about to go Kali-Ma into my heart. But anyway, so he's basically telling her how it's going to work when he sinks the pit.
And hers is going to be different, which makes it more expensive than it would usually be.
And you'll see the profits from years to come. And we're still using coal, bitch, so there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but
he ain't never lied.
Yeah.
I love all the conversations that she has with her lawyer.
And she came straight from the pit. She is dirty as hell. She's just like, bitch, I had a lot of ideas. I didn't talk about them. Give me a glass of brandy.
It's okay. So I've been on the hunt for what they drink
the
show.
Go.
Okay. So it's Madeira.
What's Madeira?
It's Portuguese wine. It's like a dessert wine. Anyway, I've been on the hunt for some because I don't think I've ever had it. And now I'm committed. And you know, I love like good bourbon. I collect good bourbon. I have a bourbon cask. I love it. But Madeira is something that can be stored similarly.
Okay, well, how can we get it?
They have it at Total Wine.
All right. Next episode, we're going to get us a bottle.
We're going to have Madeira next episode.
That's so cool. All right. So they're having some Madeira and she's going over her plan. And she's basically like, I need somebody who's going to have the balls to deal with them. I need somebody who's going to stand up to them and not take their crap.
Yeah, and she's telling him, too, that she's not going to be intimidated by him. And the lawyer himself says, well, he's a bully.
He's certainly no gentleman. Shout out Sally Wainwright. I hear you, girl.
Shout out, he is certainly no gentleman.
Mm-hmm. And even if you call me gentleman, Jack, that still means I'm a gentleman.
Exactly.
And I like that was everything in these days. Manners, sense of propriety and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
And it seems like everybody hates the Rawsons anyways, because the lawyer's like, he's a piece of crap. Everybody knows he's a piece of crap. And basically no one witnessed him hit the Ann Walker's gig on his way in and knock the little boy and the poor chicken off the RIP chicken.
Hashtag and rest boy's in leg. Peace. Chicken and homeboy's leg.
And Ann Lister's steady flicking that glass. Oh, Saran Jones.
Girl, why do you do it? Like, you know that at some point, probably many times, you know that she was going through these scenes and thinking to herself, this right here is going to slay the lesbians.
Oh, my
God. I just wonder, I want to know how many times she actually thought to herself,
They're going to love this shit.
Like, because there is no way that you could put on a performance like this and not think that to yourself at some point.
I mean, speaking of lesbians going to love this shit, here we are with Saran Jones in the bath.
Oh, she is so fit.
I would give her a bath anytime. That's inappropriate to say, but
I would get in that bath.
Inappropriate to say, but it's true.
So she grew out all of her body hair for this role, and she has been quoted in interviews to say that she grew her body hair out for so many months, and then this is the only part in the whole show that shows it. So she grew her body hair out for months and months for like 17 seconds of screen time.
That's called dedication.
I mean, how can you even look at anything other than like her collarbones and her arms?
And her hair wet? Are you kidding me?
Her whole body, her skin.
I can't wait to have a wife to give a bath. All right. Anyways, so here we are. Footman James has opened the door. Thank you, James. Let me ring the bell so you can go into another room.
Exactly. Like you announced me, but you just let that girl in.
Yep. And she came because her baby's upset. She got a letter.
She's acting real weird. I wish that I had big, beautiful bay windows like that to sit in.
That you could just sit in your couch dress in?
I could just sit and look out over the garden with my sketches and my writing and reading. What a life. What a time to be alive.
And anyway, she's talking about Mrs. Ainsworth in the accident. Oh, and she drops the bomb.
She's afraid that Mr. Ainsworth wants to marry her. And Anne is just like,
pause.
Are you fucking serious? Those are the exact words going through her mind.
Her face, that little mini moment of kind of crush disappointment, she plays it perfectly.
It was a mini catastrophe.
And I feel like she was always almost like, because we're going to keep watching right here. All right, let me think a second. I got to fix this shit. Yeah, can I see the letter? Let me read
it. Yeah, she's like, first things first, let me see the letter. And she said, no, the way that translates into modern times is when you ask your partner, can I see your phone? And they say no, heads up, that's a bad sign.
True that. The intention's clear. He wants to get married, but you can't see the letter.
But you can't see the letter.
It's smart private.
Like, there is some fuckery afoot.
Yeah, that would piss me off.
Me too. I'd be like, why can't I?
Yeah, it's marked private. He says, bitch, I ain't gonna tell nobody. Let me see it.
Yeah, like private, as in you and I.
Yeah. And she's like, this is way too soon. Your wife is not even buried yet, and already you want a marriage. Oh, she mad. She big mad.
I don't understand. I know that I'm just rambling right now, but I think Saran Jones was taken over by the spirit.
Because she captures that moment of disappointment, that moment of like almost betrayal. But she says, I don't want to marry him. You know, I don't want him. I want to be with you. I like that line.
I'm telling you, so Tuesday the Emmy nominations are going to be announced. And I swear on all that I love, if Saran Jones is not nominated,
be mad.
I will riot in the streets.
No, that just means that she will irritate the shit out of her partner all day long.
If anybody on the Emmy consideration party or whatever you guys are listens to this, make sure that your girl is on those nominations or else the lesbians will riot.
So anyways, Anne's like super disappointed and she's going through all the things, all the disappointment you get as a butch woman who's just been turned down by someone, or she hasn't been turned down, but like she's going through the things. You could be somebody's wife. You could have kids. You have this great life that I can't give you in this weird way. Right?
Yeah. And, you know, I think too that a lot of lesbian women in general, especially, those who knew from a young age that they were gay and lived as such, I think that most of us have all had the experience of, like, you know, at least one of your early relationships where you had to go through that. Like, you were seeing somebody that it was up in the air for them. Like, they could get married. They could have kids. And that's what they chose. Yeah. And I think that the way that they portray that here, even though it was, you know, over 200 years ago,
yeah,
it's still so relatable.
I love this line, and you will have fulfilled the destiny of every woman on this planet.
Cringe.
Yeah. Your destiny is on this planet as a woman. That's what she says.
It's to make babies, have grandbabies, basically stand still and look pretty.
But I love what Ann Walker says. She said, no, I have been in love with you since the first time I saw you.
When I was 18, younger. And then she said, no, it was the first time when I was 14.
Girl, when I ran after that carriage after you had some tea, I knew. I was like, oh, yeah.
That's my baby.
That's my boo. That's wifey one day.
That's wifey.
And I like how, I felt repugnance at the thought of being connected to a man.
Which tells me, if you feel that way, you are gay.
You are that's how I've always felt. I mean, we're gold stars, so.
Yeah, it goes without saying.
And I mean, I'm single. I've always said if I met a man that I thought, but it's just never happened. That's not for me. Nothing against them.
I mean, there are a lot of pretty men out there. Like, I will look at a pretty man and be like, oh, yeah, you are real pretty, but I do not want to touch you.
No.
I will tell you you're pretty.
I could look at a stained glass window without wanting to put a rock through it. I have manners.
That was one hell of a metaphor.
Absolutely. I do what I can. So here we are with a little, like, this is sad pillow talk. This is not fun pillow talk.
No.
Ann got her hand behind her head. She's like, trying, maybe we gotta talk.
She's trying to sleep.
Yeah.
Ann Walker is having the guilt.
And so basically she's saying she always thought it was a joke when the wife told the husband that he should marry Ann Walker if anything ever
happened
to her.
Because she was so much older than him.
It'll have to be you, Annie. Gross.
Ugh, like, Ann Lister don't even call her Annie. That is inappropriate.
Women have suffered such a long history of being property. It's so gross.
It really is. Disgusting.
Did you know in America that women couldn't own homes until like 70s? In the 70s?
Yeah.
Girl, that is not that long. I was born in 79. Like, what?
It's insane.
Yeah. And here we are. Girl, she got some of them britches on, I guess, that her sister
remade. I'm telling
you,
I need some of those PJs in my life.
Yeah, that is hot. I want a pair too. That's sexy.
And I can't promise that I won't, like, try and put a bra on underneath it and wear it out in public either.
All right, let's talk about this 1 second right here where she first wakes up. I love how they capture this. Look over. Where's my baby? Moment of panic. Oh, my God. Look to the left. Look to the right. Where did she go? Okay, there she is.
Look at her, though. She's just a beautiful little angel.
She is.
And the natural lighting in this show is so perfect. It adds that special touch of magic. It's just like the sprinkles.
Oh, my God. The wallpaper in her bedroom's yellow.
Oh, my God. You guys, so we'll come back to this much later, yeah. But earlier I was talking about Ann Walker's mental health and referring to a short story called The Yellow Wallpaper. If you've never read it, as a woman especially, I would recommend that you read it immediately. It's monumental, and it's been quite influential as well. But anyway, read the short story, and you can email us about it, and we'll talk about it some more. But Anne's wallpaper is yellow, and if you've read The Yellow Wallpaper, then you understand why we're making that connection.
All right. So here we go. So Ann Lister done been up all night, honey. She been thinking. She couldn't even sleep. She done sitting in the chair.
I mean, she is just ready. She's got to handle this now. She's not going to deal with the anxiety of carrying that around, which I understand because that is the worst kind of anxiety in the world. That is a can't eat, can't sleep.
What you going to do, girl? I need to know now.
And can you even imagine, like, the confidence of being able to say that, of saying, we need to know what we're doing. Yeah. I need to know what I am doing. I mean, there have been a number of times in my life that I should have said that, and I let it go on way too long. And for her to have the confidence to just lay it down, like, even if this breaks my heart, I want to know what's up right now so I can deal with it.
Okay, but Ann Walker has a great response to that. She said, I can't make this big of a decision so quickly. So that's fucking fair, too.
Well, yeah, it's fair, but she's willing to make that big of a decision to the man.
No. No, yeah, you watch it. We're watching this episode, and she has said nothing but I love you. I'm in love with you. I don't want to marry him. You are projecting some stuff.
No, I am not.
Yeah, because no, she's already said I don't want to marry him. She's saying that right now. Literally, watch. Look
but
at her
people
little face.
But people would think I'm foolish if I don't. Again, shout out to Sophie Rundle.
She says most people would think I'd be foolish, not at my age, to say. I mean, that's a that's you're projecting. That's a legitimate concern.
All right, fine. Whatever you say. Anyway, shout out Sophie Rundle. I just woke up like this. Hair is perfect, and
she is looking sexy.
And Ann Lister's side plate.
Oh, and then so she lays it out. Would we still see each other if I did this?
This is going to sound super creepy, but I bet Saran Jones has super soft hair, and I bet it smells nice.
Okay, you're so creepy right now. All right, so anyways, she asked her if we still could be friends if I did this. But she's like, not only can we go back to common friendship.
And
hell
she
no.
is mad. She has got her lips tightened up, which is how you always know when a woman has really had enough. Like, when her lips tighten up around her teeth, and her voice goes up an octave,
you know that
it's over for you.
And there we have poignant music. And whatever you decide, you're going to have to live with the consequences. At least she lays it down. We both will.
She just wants to deal with it. She wants to go ahead and start the process of feeling and healing.
Yeah, because I don't think we could be remain friends. I love you too much for that, basically. Oh, and her crying,
and girl, I feel
my
that.
Heart.
I know. Every time she gets emotional, it hurts me because she's so strong and so willful. So it almost means more to see her become emotional.
Why do I have to tell you Monday? Because, girl, I need to know now what you're doing. We need to decide.
We are not waiting until April.
Yeah, and I need to know what I'm doing because I might go to Paris. I mean,
if you hurt my heart, I'm definitely bouncing.
Yeah. And so she's doing the thing we love to do as a butch. I'm leaving. I'm upset. I'm getting my clothes and I'm getting out of here.
And poor Anne, I mean, can't we all empathize with her squirmy sadness in the bed right then? I mean, we've all experienced that.
Yep. So I hope we shall meet under happier circumstances.
And here she is writing in her journal.
As I said to myself as I walked out, a pretty scene we have had.
But I don't care that much. I don't care.
Very quietly and be easily reconciled. Either way, I don't care.
See, she's trying to act hard.
That's what we do.
But really, she's not.
That's what we do. Oh, because she's crying and her hand's shaking. I love how they got the ink on her fingers like that. That was a common thing when they used.
With fountain pens.
Yes. See, I know stuff. I'm not a total dummy, Google.
I just love the, I mean, this scene, she's shaking.
She's overcome with emotion. And then she's like, no, I got to do something.
She's so sick. Like, she's so overcome with emotion that it's making her physically ill.
She's very bilious.
Very bilious.
I hope we're saying that right.
You are.
Okay.
That's such a fun word to say.
The first time I heard her say it, I looked
it up
immediately.
To be nauseated.
Yep. Oh, don't do this to me. Don't
this
break
is
my
so
heart.
Poignant. She's telling God, don't you dare do this to me again.
Have we not all been there? I know I have.
Have we all not sat on our bedroom floors and told God, do not do this to me again? I mean,
it does, like, after you can't find love like that repeatedly, it does feel like sometimes you're like, does God not like gay people? But I know he does because he's been with me too many times. But I've been that sad and low.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so here we go.
Here's Mama Rawson.
She is such a Muppet. She looks like a Jim Henson creation. She is terrifying to me. If you saw that in a dark alley, you would lose your shit.
She kind of looks like Ludo in...
she does a little bit.
In Labyrinth.
But I kind of love her because she's a badass.
Oh, she totally is. She says exactly what's on her mind. She has no scruples at all. She's just... telling it like it is.
Yes. And she says, oh, I like her. She has good company. She has good conversation. She's been so many places. She's clever, which in that talk was meant she's smart as shit for a woman.
And most women are dull and stupid, but she is not.
She's a little odd.
But who cares? Like, that's the kind of person that, like, I'm an old lady. I need some quality. Mm-hmm. Quality over quantity.
And I don't think she's dull or stupid at all. She's smart and clever and fun, and I like her.
And I mind my own business.
Yep.
Most importantly.
Yeah, and he's like, I know how smart she is. And she said, oh, I doubt it. So he thinks he has the measure of her, and his own mama is like, no, you're wrong. And the brother's trying to explain that she's got him over a barrel, which is what she does.
And he's just being matter of fact. And then this guy calls them out. And Mama Rawson is like, what?
Y'all are stealing her coal?
You are stealing her coal? And they're just trying to brush it off. Because Mama's obviously going to be big mad.
What a ballsy move of that guy to just be like, ain't you stealing her coal, though? That's what I heard.
Super casual guy having tea with the family.
And then, oh, cocky dude, well, I'll tell her where she can shove her pits. Mm.
Excuse me, ladies, but his mother's going to get the best of him.
Yep.
Because he was so vile. I just love how casual she is about saying all this.
She's like, oh, by the way, her girlfriend got money. Did you not know that? They done been to York, and you know where they going next.
Paris. You know what Miss Lister does in Paris.
I love this line. Maybe Miss Walker will let Miss Lister dip into her purse, and whatever else she's been letting her dip into.
Ooh. I mean, that was
And then her mom's like, so sorry, ladies. I got a little crude, but. And then she laughs. I got to say, this is who I would be in this show. Just this old lady. She'd be like, I heard she'd be doing Miss Walker. Oh, sorry, girls. I'm just talking shit.
The Fraggle Rock Elder.
Oh, I'm so sad
now. She looks like she could have been a character in Dark Crystal.
So that's exactly what she's like a Skeksis. Is that what they call them?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's oh, they're been creepy. So many years.
I don't like it. I've only seen it once as a child. That traumatized me. So never again.
She also reminds me, this is going to sound really crazy, but I feel like people who are around my age, so like if you're in your early 30s, then you'll probably know what I'm talking about. She reminds me of the troll queen from that animated movie, A Troll in Central Park.
You know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of the lady with all her junk on her back in the Labyrinth.
Yes.
Oh, you need this in your little doll and your dog.
No, that is the worst. Jen, I'm going to have nightmares about her now. I'm so sorry
I
did
that. Like, I just knew it myself. And now.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, bud.
You need to apologize to everybody who's listening. Sorry, everybody y'all. Is going to be haunted by her tonight.
Sorry, y'all. These things stay in my head and I say them out loud.
Really, that really is who she is.
She does.
Also, feel free to email us what she reminds you of. I'm sure everybody's got their own little thing.
We'll gleefully read those. So here we are. We're back down to the road. Is that where she's going? Because they're doing renovations.
Some maintenance.
Yeah.
And she's out there working herself, honey. That's how us lesbians do. There is nothing. We will not ask a man to do anything that we are not willing to do ourselves.
And he's like, can we have a break? Because you're working your ass off, lady. And the rest of the boys and I usually have dinner right now.
I need a snack.
Yeah.
Here, why don't you have some of this beer right here? Have it just a drop of beer.
And then whatever that container is, looks like those aluminum water bottles that like bike riders have and stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
It's probably clay, but still.
Can I just say that I've never envied a water bottle as much as I do right now.
Yeah, getting to touch those lips.
I mean.
And she just took a slug of that beer. It's
she
like a
really
beer,
did. Like she took a swig.
Yep.
That was not a sip. It was definitely not a drop of beer. It was a swig. So he's telling her all about how Eugenie has denied him, and he's trying not to be sad about it in his adorable way because John Booth is number one bachelor. Change my mind.
No, you can't. And he said it's a step down for her, and she realized it when she got back from York. That hurt my heart. I feel you, John Booth. I feel you, dog.
We all been John Booth before.
And I think in this moment, Ann Lister feels for him too. Because she's like, yeah.
She does. I think that she cares about all of them. And I love this moment too where she realizes that Eugenie was pregnant and she's like annoyed with herself. She's like, oh, you've been so distracted with everything that you didn't even realize this girl was pregnant.
And that's what was going on. And John Booth was being a good guy.
And now I feel like a dick.
Oh.
I love the way that she sits. I feel like that's how I sit on any given day of the week anywhere.
I love how it's all just like coming together in her head and she feels dumb. Like that's such a control freak moment. Like, how did I miss that?
Yeah, and she's like legit hurt that Cordingley knew and didn't tell her, like, because she feels like Cordingley is like her right hand.
And he's just admitting with somebody to marry her and you know, take responsibility because that's the decent thing to do, and he was going to do it.
Because he's smitten with her, and he's got those beautiful little girls of his own that he's raising by himself.
And he admits it wasn't an entirely selfish thing. She's hot as hell.
I'm smitten with her.
Yeah. I would have loved to have married her. Oh,
I just think he's so precious. Look at his sweet little face.
Okay, he's number one bachelor.
Thank
you. You sold me.
John Booth, number one bachelor.
He's so precious in this moment.
He really is.
And it's very rare that both parties feel exactly the same way for each other.
Isn't
that
the truth?
Look at that moment of tender music because she's hurting.
And because that's the truth, though. Like, I feel like there's everyone has connections with people in different times of their life that are off the charts. Like, it's unbelievable Dude, but you the have timing that. Is bad.
You have that now. You yeah, have that connection.
I got it. And I got the timing and the connection.
And I know. Right. I think that's a beautiful but thing I'm, to write. And you're right. That does not happen
exactly,
every time.
Like, we've all had those moments, though, where we had these incredible connections and the timing just ruined it. And yeah. I feel like it's just so poignant.
And she's having a bitter moment. And he's making sure she's not going to fire him. Fire Eugenie over this. Excuse me, not fire him. And she's like, nah, they don't grow on trees, boo. She speaks French. I got to go to Paris.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't take my girlfriends to Paris if I don't have somebody who speaks.
Real French lady maids don't come around.
She's mad at Courtling for not saying anything to her. But let me just have another
Courtingly, how dare you?
Yeah. Are you all right? No, it ain't even you. I'm upset about some other shit, John.
Let me have some more of this beer, though. And I'm always all right.
Yeah, and not admit that I'm upset because that's what we do.
She says that so many times. I'm always all right.
Uh-huh. And here we go. Here comes Mr. Washington to ask if Thomas can take over the farm.
And she's got thoughts about it.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes those little Washington girls up the lane to bring the Soudens the message about the tenancy.
And please stay away from the pigs.
Don't. Those pigs are man-eaters.
Yep.
You little girls, be careful. I love this littlest Washington girl. She is a trip, and every scene that she's in, she's just like, I'm here be heard and seen.
She's like the little from Game of Thrones, you know what I'm talking about? She's a little Arya kind of.
Oh, yeah, like baby Arya, like season one Arya.
You have pigs. I'd like to have pigs one day. I can do that because I can do whatever I want. I'm like, yeah, girl, you can.
And better than everyone else, too.
Yep, she's so precious. You're right. She's great.
She is. She's a super cute kid. But little Amy, though.
Yes,
she is the most precious little thing in the whole world.
I can never read her spidery, fancy writing. I love it.
And I just think to imagine, though, that these people had to ask the person that delivered the letter to read it to them. Like, I cannot imagine being illiterate. And, I mean,
yeah,
that's all I have to say about that. I cannot imagine. It really is. And I think that people take it for granted, especially this day and age.
And then so Thomas is looking at the lovely Miss Washington and just finding out that he's going to get a farm of his own. And he's so happy.
Oh, Susanna.
Yeah. And they're all so happy because, you know, they've had a rough time.
They've had a rough time, and now they get to keep their farm.
And now there's a little tiny moment, you know, like, hey, girl, reading that letter.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm going to have my own place now. I got to find a wife.
By the way, I just got this farm. You looking for a place to stay? Your little sister can come by and check these pigs out.
I can put her to work a couple hours a day, too.
And then, of course, people asking about Mr. Snowden. Who cares? Why y'all missing this
guy? And that's what I'm saying. I mean, like,
it's 1832. We ain't got no detectives. Let's just let it go.
Like, everybody in town knows that he was an absolute drunk asshole. Why do y'all care? Like, just let him be gone. Y'all ask too many questions.
Agreed. So here we are, the lovely Saran Jones in bed. I want a giant mahogany bed like this. Let a bitch get famous.
With the drapes around it. You got to add the drapes around it. Appreciation moment for the shadow that the natural light casts through these pajamas.
Thank you. Thank you, director.
Saran Jones is very... very fit.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with her.
And I just think it's so tasteful, too, that, you know, Ann Lister is historically spoken about as being a woman of great physical fitness.
Yeah.
And I really think that as much as we, like, lustfully enjoy that scene, the real reason why they made that scene was to put in that bit of importance about Ann Lister, is that she was a woman of fantastic physical shape.
Yeah, indeed. And she's upset. She can't sleep. She's thinking about the pit, thinking about the people not telling her, thinking about her girl, talking to her dad now.
Which is like major.
Yeah, because she doesn't really consult with him much.
She's now asked everybody in the house. Well, in her family, at least. about how they would feel if Anne came to live with her.
Yep, and she's pretty much basically going over the plans now. It's going to cost me 2 G's to sink the pit. These people are stealing my stuff. I need to stop.
And he's like, well,
I got 450.
And she acts like she's basically like any daughter of any father in the whole world. Like, he says 450 and she's almost surprised. She's like, really? Is that all? Like, come on, daddy. I know you got more for me.
And then, yeah, here she is asking if, can Anne come live here? I mean, it really ain't up to you, but I was wondering how you would feel about it.
Because you're my dad. Yeah. And I'm a woman of stout tradition.
And they all say the same thing. I'd be happy for you. Beautiful.
Amazing.
We should all be that lucky. Well, I am that lucky. But, yeah, so perfect. And also, my girlfriend's moving in. I'm asking for a little money to sink these pits, okay?
So I asked you that because she's probably going to pay for this. Anyway, so now she's been sent a fruit basket from Miss Walker of Crow Nest. With a little note in it.
She looks so nervous, too. She's like,
wouldn't you be? Yeah. I would be. Same that she does. Like, she just puts that fruit basket. Now she's like, fuck this fruit.
Well, because she doesn't know if it's a fuck off fruit basket.
Yeah, exactly. But, and I feel like if somebody sent me a fruit basket, I'd be like, this is bad.
this can't be good.
Like, you know, when you're trying to express love to somebody, you send like chocolate covered strawberries, a fruit basket, and that's not—it's not even like edible arrangement fruit. It's just like fruit fresh off the vine.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh, and she's writing her letter and telling her, you know, I can't make up my mind. I put a note in a slip of in a purse, and I'm going to draw it out, and that will be the answer.
And it's just absolute bullshit because, like, who does that? And you know what? If she did that to me, I'm not gonna lie. I'd be like, all right. I'd be like, it said yes. Mm.
Oh, no. And she pulls it out and it says no.
And it said no. Well, she was not willing to accept that. Instead, she was like, you know what? Mm-mm. F this. I'm going to get mad instead.
Yeah. Oh.
I love that it showed, like, it actually showed each of them written on the paper, though.
Yeah. Oh, and she is so mad. She done crumpled up the letter. She's trying to figure out what the next move is. What do we do?
She's trying to keep herself composed. She's like, all right.
I'm going to go walk the 20 minutes to
Mama didn't raise no bitch. It's time to nut up or shut up.
Oh, she's so mad.
She's gay rushing across the meadow to Crow Nest. She is, you can always tell when she's really mad because her hair is a little astrewn.
a bit askew. And she's tugging at the neck because she's mad. She's, oh.
She is just tugging on that cravat. She needs a little extra air.
Uh-huh. And she don't even let, she no proper greeting. I would have known what to do with a yes or a no, but what is this bullshit?
I mean, she just lays into her straight out the gate.
Yeah.
And like, while I understand, like, I'm with you, Ann Lister, I would feel the same. She's also like really delicate right now. And she, you can just tell by her body language that she just wants to crumple up in the fetal position right now. She is miserable.
I mean, and to be fair, that's a lot of pressure in 1832. I mean, we're coming from a today's standpoint in our feelings of being like this, but let's be real.
In 1832,
women were told what to do.
Absolutely.
So, but she's not.
I mean, she's
it.
Probably never heard of the concept of this happening at all.
And she's so mad. She don't want to hear about duty. Fuck duty.
But she's acting real weird. She's like, what do you mean? What duty are you referring to, though? And Anne breaks down.
Because she hasn't told her the whole story.
Because she wouldn't let her see the note. But now she's had enough.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what is really going on.
And y'all, it is rough.
Oh. And so immediately, because like, have you ever been in a fight with a beautiful woman and she goes to tears and you're like, okay, I'm sorry for yelling.
Especially with someone you love. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, I fucked up.
I let my anger do the talking instead of my love and I'm very sorry. And
I did not mean this at all. Please don't cry. Like, it physically breaks my heart. If I see somebody cry, I cry several times a day anyway. But if I see somebody else cry, I'm most definitely going to cry as well.
That's true.
I will be your crying company.
So she lost her temper, and then she dialed back real quick because of the tears. And here we go with a little confession here. Reverend Ainsworth, what happened? What happened, girl? Tell me.
Indiscreet. And we all know what that means.
Mm-hmm. And Anne's a little, I mean, she's Anne's like, a little mad. What?
This is a married man, and he's a pastor, too. He is a reverend.
And I didn't want to, and I didn't know how to say no. I don't like that, and it upsets me.
The reason why you don't like that is because that is the actual definition of rape or sexual assault. Like, that's it, right? I didn't want to. I said no.
Yeah, sexual coercion, like, all kinds of ugly things I'm not into at all, And
he groomed her. He groomed her as well. He made sure that they had moments alone when she was visiting. It's a disgusting situation. And Anne Lister is in absolute shock.
And I think she's finally getting it now.
Yeah, she understands why she's so upset and why she's just absolutely distraught over it. And at this very moment, she's deciding, she's like, oh, I feel like an asshole for just being so ugly to you.
Because she felt behind an eight ball. She felt like she had to do this because of past indiscretion.
Because she was raped and she's guilt. She feels guilt for something that wasn't her fault.
Mm. And she's kind of getting to the bottom of what she means.
She wants to know exactly what happened. So that she can, I guess, figure out how she feels about the situation.
And that's tough, and that's so, this is a hard scene for both sides.
It really is. It's uncomfortable for both parties.
And she basically tells her what happened. That they were together once, and she didn't want to, and basically he coerced her into it, and now...
She wants to know if she has an obligation to marry him because he took advantage of her. And Anne Lister is like, absolutely not.
He forced himself on you.
It was his job to protect you because you were in his house.
As his friend visiting his wife. Yeah.
He's a reverend. He was a married man. He is an adulterer and a raper.
And a rapist. And he took advantage of you. And I love how she affirms her and lets her know that
it's not her fault.
Yeah, she's done nothing wrong. She's the victim. And this man took advantage of her. He's an abuser. And thank you for telling me, baby. I needed to know that so I could figure out what to do from him.
They so well handled all things having to do with assault and mental health and that sort of thing.
Because they didn't have a name then. Yeah.
They did it, but the way that they portray it and the resolution that they allow Anne to have for Anne Walker is incredible and so healthy.
Yep. And so she tells her basically, that's why I couldn't tell you yes, is because...
And now she's like, here's the letter. Yeah. Like, you can read the whole thing now because I told you.
Yeah.
To my own little Annie. Like, are you serious right now, guy?
Fuck you.
What a Chester.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, poor baby. And she's devastated because she, I didn't know. I'm sorry I got mad. I had no idea. I'm a dumbass. Let me read the letter. Let me think about it. Let me figure out what we're going to do next.
Like, who could possibly hurt that sweet little cinnamon roll? I mean, really, if you're not doing everything in your power to protect that sweet angel,
and she says, get captured. And she says right here, if I'd had somebody like you in my life, that would have never happened to me. That's so important.
It really is.
Everybody needs somebody that will just listen to them and trust them. And somebody who would have helped me, she says. That breaks my heart. This whole scene breaks my heart.
It really does. That's how alone she felt in the world. That she felt that it was something that she just had to accept that had happened. And that she somehow had an obligation toward the accountability of it.
And she just holds her baby and she's thinking, what am I going to do? But she's going to figure it out.
All she cares about is that now she knows and that now there's a chance to repair everything. And she loves her baby. She's going to give her all the kisses, make sure she knows she's the prettiest cinnamon roll in the whole world.
I love how she holds her.
So precious. And she says, no matter what, I would have gotten you out of this.
Yeah. Whether you said yes to me or not, I would have helped you out. And I believe
And I think that's one way that Anne Lister tells her that she loves her. You know, they say that she never directly says, I love you to Anne Walker. But I think she tells her in so many other ways without actually saying the words. And that was one of them.
So she tells him basically he's coming to town and for a ruse just to get near her.
Acting like he's going to get a job at the church, but it's to get near me.
And you, it, and she, true to a butch, don't worry about it, baby. You don't have to worry about him. I got this.
I will cut him.
Do you understand? She's like, what are you going to do to him? Don't worry about it. Some jaunty music's playing. Let me figure it out.
I haven't decided yet. Mm.
And that fourth, that's a slight fourth wall break, but it's real.
Oh, that's a major fourth wall break. Yeah, she is letting us know that she
is going to handle
is on the warpath.
Oh, I love it.
Hell hath no fury.
I'm going to go back 10 seconds just so we can see her break the fourth wall again with that resolute look. I haven't decided yet.
I mean, I'm no match for Saran Jones breaking the fourth wall. I mean, I feel like if she looked at me in real life, my knees would just go out and I would just fall over.
Fair enough.
And I would feel like a fool.
Fair enough. All right, that's the conclusion of episode 4, Most Women Are Dull and Stupid. So, now we're going to do a little housekeeping here. We are going to our Gentleman Jack nomination, you guys. We finally got one. Like, we didn't come up with one ourselves. Somebody finally sent us an email, and we're so excited. So, I'm going to read the email to you guys. So, here we go. This is our first, like, genuine. I mean, the other two were genuine.
They really were. Yeah. We picked them, but this was the first one where somebody wrote in and nominated, and we're really.
All right. So, here we go. Our first Gentleman Jack nomination. Hello. My name is Vernice, pronounced Vernice. But we're Southern and country, so very nice. But very nice. I would like to nominate my wife, Asha. Today, I was listening to your second podcast and how we all need an Ann Lister in our lives to lift us up, and I thought about my wife. I'm a butch woman who suffers from severe PTSD and panic attacks and high-functioning depression and anxiety. And most nights, I have panic attacks before I go to sleep, which is not sexy. And I do my best to suffer in silence, hoping my wife doesn't hear me losing my shit. But every night, my wife puts her head on my chest and an arm around me. She kisses me on the shoulder and tells me, sorry, y'all, she's right here with me. And I do my PTSD exercise and listen to her breathing. And I pray I wake up tomorrow and do it again. And I thank the universe that I found her in this time in my life. So I relate to both Ann's. And I nominate my wife, Asha Lujan. Thanks for letting me feel safe and sharing. And Kristen, you actually contacted her and asked her if it was okay if we shared all the information in this email, right?
Yeah, I absolutely did. We actually had a great conversation. She's just so awesome. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that we had her absolute permission to share this entire nomination because it just was so personal and so heartfelt. And, you know, it did contain some sensitive information, and she is just such a warrior herself. She nominated her wife, but I have to say what a warrior she is as well, because when she gave me permission to read it out loud, she told me that she's not ashamed of her scars. And I think that is the most hopeful, strong answer that anyone that struggles with that sort of thing can ever hear, that to not be ashamed of your scars. It's part of who you are, and you can do it.
And this nomination teared me up reading it. Like, what a beautiful love. What a beautiful thing to have. Like, we should all be so lucky. And how very similar to what we're watching on screen. I mean, someone who has some mental issues and someone who's loving them through that. Like, we should all find somebody that loves us through our own stuff.
We all deserve that, for sure.
So thank you so much for this nomination. Vernice, we really appreciate it. Asha, you are our Gentleman Jack of the Week, and we're so excited to send you our certificate. So just send us your email, and we'll get that out to you.
Yep, absolutely. And the next thing that we want to do is... We really want to do a shout out to all of the people internationally that have been listening to our podcast.
We got an email saying, why don't you shout out anybody other than the US and the UK? And here's the answer, guys. We had no idea you guys were out here listening. We just assumed that it would be only the US and the UK. So now we want to shout out all the countries that have been listening to us.
Yeah, I went and took a look at the exact demographics on the podcast, and I actually took the time to write down every geographical region that is represented to our listenership. And we just want to tell everyone that we love you. We're doing this for you. I feel like most of you that are listening to this, we feel like we know a little piece of you at this point from our interactions on the group and the emails that we've been sent. It's just been so, so beautiful to have this response. And
humbling, honestly.
Yes, humbling for sure. So we just want to do a shout out to all of the regions that are represented in our listenership.
Yeah. So shout outs to the U.S., the U.K., Canada, Australia, Germany, Philippines, Poland, South Africa, Spain, Slovenia. Did I say that one right?
Yes.
All right. Thailand, Isle of Man, Serbia, Netherlands, Saudi Arabia, Greece, Vietnam, France, Singapore, Mexico, and Brazil.
Does that not blow your mind?
And now we're just going to say, like, we have one listener in most of these places, but shout out to you, one listener in
some of the countries. Yeah.
Serbia, Greece, Vietnam. The Isle of Man is our favorite because there's one lesbian on the Isle of Man who's like, nah, I am listening, sisters.
I am here for this.
So shout out that one. I hope it's a woman on the Isle of Man. We're going to get an email.
It might be a man. It's going to be like, actually. And you know what, sir? If you are, in fact, a man, we welcome you.
Yeah, we appreciate you, too. Every single one of you, even if you're one listener in one place, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for taking the time. It means the world to both of us. We love doing this for you guys. Once again, send us emails about how we can prove. Give us your Gentleman Jack nominees. Kristen, hit them with that email one more time.
The email address is tophattopics.podcast@gmail.com.
And one more time, guys, again, we really want to thank the admins at the Gentleman Jack Fans HBO and BBC One TV show page. Thank you again for making us your official recommendation for a Gentleman Jack podcast. It means the world to us. We're very excited about it.
And again, I know that we've said it a couple times now. We just cannot imagine the work that you guys are putting into moderating that page. Again, it is the healthiest social media environment that I've ever been a part of. And it really all goes not only to the members, but to these amazing admins that keep it true to the rules. And it is just nothing but love.
And it's because there's no shortage of content you guys are putting out for them to go through. I mean,
I swear my whole life are our groups now.
I know. Every day I just see a comment from you. And I don't have time to do it like you do. And I'm always like, Kristen's got us. She's making comments for us. She's got both of us. We're good.
I speak for both of us.
She does. So thanks again, admins at Gentleman Jack Fans, HBO and BBC One shows. And thanks all of you for listening. We love you guys so much. Like, you are our worlds. Your emails, your comments, they mean everything to us. And we really, really appreciate you guys.
And I just wanted to add, I think that a lot of you probably already know, but Jen is actually a stand-up comedian. Jen, where are some of the places you're going to have shows at upcoming in case anybody in the States wants to catch you?
So this week is kind of slight, but I'll be in Charlotte on Tuesday the 17th at the Comedy Zone. And then on the 20th, that's this Saturday, I'll be Bush and Bull in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I know we have some Florida listeners. So if you guys want to get down to Orlando and see Jen, I'm sure she would love to meet some Lister sisters, Lister listeners, and
Lister listeners.
Try saying that five times fast.
That's a workout for your tongue. Thank you again, guys, and we will catch you week with episode 5. Let's have another look at your past perfect.
See you guys soon. Thank you so much.